May great compassion also grow.
And may you accomplish the great benefit of sentient beings.
Is that a good aspiration? As before, please give rise to Supreme Bodhicitta as it is taught in the Mahayana tradition. So now from among the 10 different presentations, we will be looking at the 9th one, which is immutability, the fact that this nature never changes. And the concise explanation says, this verse 51, since it has faults that are incidental and a nature that has qualities, it is afterwards as it was before, the unchanging Dharmata. This verse can be put into the form of a reasoning, the subject of which is the unchanging Dharmata, the Dharmata that never changes. And so that is what the reasoning is about, and the subject of it is the nature of the mind. And what one states about it, when one says of it, is that it is the Dharmata that is never changing. And why is that? Because the first reason is it has faults that are incidental, so the faults that come along with it are adventitious or temporary or incidental. And the second reason is that it has a nature that is endowed with qualities that are inseparable from it.
Nyeba dan chung pakpa top je ngowa lan jorwa yung kare.
The incidental stains are not connected with the true nature of the mind, with the Buddha nature. When these then because the pure nature of the mind is completely free of any kind of stain. And so because it's free of any kind of stain to begin with, in its essential nature, then whether, from the point of view of that nature, whether there are faults or whether there are no faults, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't change anything about that essential nature. These qualities, then, are something that the Buddha nature is naturally endowed with. And if it was not so, if they were not naturally present, then they would be something that would be newly acquired. And because of this new acquisition, then, there would be change. There would be something new, something added, and there would be change. But that's not the case. They are not newly acquired, and that is because the qualities are spontaneously present. So those are also reasons, then, why the essential nature of the mind doesn't change. So the meaning of this, then, is, in brief, that the faults or the defects are incidental, and that the qualities, the second, the qualities are spontaneously present. So for these two reasons, then, the essential nature of the mind, radiant clarity or the Buddha nature, is unchanging. And when one is speaking of not this unchangingness or the immutability, we're not speaking about an absence of change that is posited in dependence on change. It's not this kind of interdependent pair of changing and unchanging, or mutable and immutable. The kind of unchangingness, immutability that's being talked about here is something that transcends of any kind of extreme of change or not change.
Jurme jikte namdo le tu pe jurme re ma thong ne jurme mare.
So an example of the changing and not changing that are posited in dependence on each other would be also what is, according to ordinary conceptualizing mind, would be something like a movie where there is continual change, and something like a stone or a diamond, which we think of as solid and not changing at all. So it's not that kind of pair of opposites. Some people work in a way that's almost continuous. One job finishes and another starts, and they are continuously, they're sort of workaholics, and there's a continuous job in front of them, and and also their conceptualizing mind is full of a whole host of different kinds of thoughts that are continually bubbling around. And because of this, because of not analyzing their situation, they think, for example, that the work is constant and the concepts are undergoing some kind of change. However, this is not the case. However, these are two things that are posited in dependence on another. One seems to be changing a lot, and the other seems to be unchanging or stable. So it's not this kind of change that's being spoken of here. The unchangingness is something that is beyond being established in dependence.
This is not same thing. Nello was a dehini bin jumite, yin in jura mapa, yin in jura mapa tang, luin jutrup in jumite. Jumil and Bezer say Mugub in jumite.
And therefore, when one speaks of the nature of the mind, radiant clarity of the Buddha nature, as being unchanging, one is talking about it being primordially without change, that it is spontaneously present. It's an unchangingness, an immutability, that doesn't take any effort to be established. It's always been like that. So this concise explanation of immutability or unchangingness applies to all the three different phases that we looked at before and that will be coming up in this explanation as well, of the impure or the unpurified phase, the unpurified and the purified phase, and the completely purified phase. So within all these phases, this reasoning, this statement that's given in verse 51 applies to all of them. It pervades all three phases. Then to come to page 5 and this verse number 52, where we're looking at the three phases now, and this is the first one, the unpurified phase. And the verse says, just as space is omnipresent and not in the least stained, since it is subtle, likewise the Buddha nature abides in all sentient beings and is not stained in the least.
So
the subject of this is space, and it's said that it is omnipresent and not in the least stained, and the reason is because it is subtle.
대기심진탐제는
Another way of stating this is, given the subject, the Buddha nature, it is not stained by any of the faults of sentient beings. Why? Because it is subtle, and the example for that is space.
Sacha melon las open jura, jua nam dan simjina nam kala change seba. Sena young nam kala change me ba de yendo, duma seba. Ka oisa de hinging bu ying la, wang bu nam nang tangi change over it.
Verse number 53 says, just as worlds at all times arise and disintegrate within space, likewise the sense faculties arise and disintegrate within the uncompounded expanse. So to expand on this a bit, so all worlds arise and disintegrate, and so those worlds are made up of the four elements of earth, water, fire, and wind. And within space, then these undergo numerous kinds of changes, of permutations. But the space in which these changes happened is not affected by those changes. And in the same way, the sense faculties, the various sense organs of the eyes and the ears and so forth, they arise and disintegrate within the uncompounded expanse, within the Dharmadhatu. But the Dharmadhatu itself is not affected by any of the arising and disintegrating of the sense faculties. So given the subject then, which is the uncompounded Dharmata, which is a synonym for the Buddha nature, it does not undergo change. The elements that arise out of the Dharmadhatu and sink back in. The sense organs arise out of the Dharmadhatu and sink back into it without changing the Dharmadhatu itself at all. And this is like the four elements that arise and cease within, arise out of space and subside back into space, but do not change the space. The five sense faculties arise and disintegrate as mere appearances within the expanse that is radiant clarity. And therefore, the true nature of these sense faculties transcends coming and going, because they do not arise from any place else than radiant clarity, and they do not go any place else except radiant clarity. The next verse, 54, says, just as space until now has not been burnt by fires, likewise this Dharmadhatu is not burnt by the fires of death, sickness, and aging. So to put this into the form of a reasoning, this radiant clarity, Buddha nature, is not burned or burned up by the fires of death, sickness, and aging, because the Buddha nature is extremely subtle. And the example for it is space, where fires arise, but they do not affect space, they do not burn it. This verse shows that the Buddha nature, radiant clarity, nature of the mind, transcends arising and ceasing. For the confused intellect, the confused conceptualizing mind, there is the mere appearance of this arising and ceasing. However, from the point of view of the nature of mind, from for the Dharmata, then it transcends arising and ceasing. And so one can say that ultimately there is no arising nor ceasing.
Sane chula chulong long nang kala rabdane. Kane long dan chota dan sai kala nemai, te pere. Jumanam chigi chigla tin de nam kala negre nam ka kala yama tempa. Dejin pombo kawang na dejin do pombo kanda wangbo nam leda nyumong dala nebare leda nyumong tsurgi me yila se la ta done tsurgi mayimba la negre. Chogye mayi yizi ne semje takwa larane. Chogye mayimbe yizi te dene semje takwa la negre. Semje takwa, semje rangin chunana tamje laya nemae. Semje rangin wasa deke nyingbo ne kanglaya neba mare. Dese na semje nelok te ne meba, ye meba, mekba meba, treba meba.
Mushi kapti la dakwa dan semjinedo the next two verses then say the earth rests on water and water on wind. Wind rests fully on space. Space does not rest on the elements of wind, water, or earth. So this just sets up of sort of layers or stages of things. You have the earth, and then underneath it water, and underneath it wind, and underneath that space. So these earlier layers rest on something else, and space itself doesn't rest on anything. And what it points to is the next two verses, which say, likewise, the aggregate elements and sense faculties rest on karma and mental afflictions. Karma and mental afflictions always rest on incorrect mental activity. An incorrect mental activity fully rests on the purity of the mind. The true nature of the mind does not rest on any of these phenomena. So this then is the meaning of the example, and the aggregates then in the same, there's the same kind of layering happening. The aggregates, elements, and sense faculties rest upon karma and mental afflictions, the kleshas, and they rest on incorrect mental activity. And incorrect mental activity rests on the purity of the mind, or the true nature of the mind. They're synonyms here. The purity refers to the natural purity of the mind that we saw earlier. So this shows that the nature of the mind, radiant clarity, does not depend or rest on anything whatsoever. There is no abiding, there is no focal reference, and therefore there is no delusion either.
And they come so pomo kanta chinji wangpo nam kangli songare le da nyimong na le songare le da nyimong kangli songare le da nyimong tanda chorje mayin ba sinje log nam do le tin songare sinje log nam do chorje mayin ba yeji le tin songare chorje mayin ba yeji de semje takpa la ten ba re semje takpa rang yin je number ta ba de hi ni bo ne
ကံတော့ရနေနေပါမယ်ဘေးခရရေဂျောဝန်နံရံဘေနောင်ခလက်တင်းနေရောင်နောင်ခကံရံတင်းပါမယ်ပါရင်ဥချစူဂျီမယင်ပကီချီဒီပေချီချာနာခန်းစီကောရလာအာစူဂျီမယင်ပကီချီစူဂျီမယင်ပယီစီတေနော်ဒီပနတပ်တူထားကတော့ကိုကိနေလာစူဂျီမယင်ပယီစီတေ
So
then, this example is then illustrates the relationships between the skandhas and karma and so forth. And first it shows that the skandhas, the elements, and the sense faculties arise from karma and mental afflictions. And karma and mental afflictions arise from incorrect mental activity. And incorrect mental activity refers to the four mistaken thoughts, where one takes what is permanent, impermanent to be permanent, what is not a self to be a self, what is suffering to be bliss. And the last one then is to take what is dirty to be clean. So those are the four main ways that one misperceives. And where do those arise from? They arise from the purity of the mind, the true nature of the mind. The purity of the mind refers to that, the naturally abiding purity of the mind. And that then does not rely on anything at all. And the example for that was in the previous verse, where we saw that space does not rely on anything.
Tenen korwa te norwa, norwa tamla tenen somare. Same thing, Nelo was at the king of Moma, Hippe, Norva Sam Latinte, Corva Samore. Norma te Kanga Tempare, was at the king of Moma, Hippa Latempare, was at the king of Butrupa, the Travel Center, Kanga and Martinpare. This and Uncova then Tartona, the name Mapa, 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 Tripa Mapa. You didn't draw your money. You then Patrobati Mapare.
So samsara arises based on merely a mistake. That's why we have samsara. It's just one small mistake that we make. And that is that we don't recognize the Buddha nature. We don't recognize the radiant clarity that is the nature of the mind. And because we don't, then samsara arises. So this mistake is based on not recognizing the Buddha nature. And then Buddha nature itself, however, does not rely on anything. It is the freedom from elaborations. And therefore, it does not rely on anything. It has no locus. It is not a focus. It is not a delusion in any kind of way. And it has no basis or support whatsoever.
This and Nankova Norva Samre, Nyande Norva Sepa Tangibus and Nelong Konde Nyamanit.
And because samsara is a mere mistake, a mere not recognizing the nature of the mind, and that nirvana is the elimination of that mistake, then one can say that the true nature of samsara and nirvana are the same, they are of an equal nature.
Mana ngo ma hepa te mong cham re, ngo hepa te mana re saundu mong cham le, mong cham te ga dog re. Ten rao san no tang na yang ko le lag re.
And it's easy to understand this if one looks at the context of a dream, when one is not recognizing that one is dreaming. And there, that is mere dullness, mere bewilderment. If one recognizes that one is dreaming, then by that mere recognition that one is dreaming, then this mere bewilderment disappears.
Tāpē tāng pējīng jarvā nē sātāng rāvā kārā, sātāng rāvā phūngbō tāng jīnchī kāng nāng hībārā sā, phūngbō kāng tāng jīnchī nāng sātāng rāvā rā hībō. Chokan tanda chui kan tanda wal, chokan tanda lochin je leda nyumun shi sat, simjin je leda nyumun de chua tanda wal shi kong. Surjin mayin yizi de sinje loga tokpa de, surjin mayin yizi na longa kan tanda wal ta. Surjin mayin ba sinje loga yizi de long da wal ta kong. Rangin kar, simje rangin de kar, rangin namka kan yin do, simje rangin de namka kan yin do, de yes de yige nor song do ka wo ja ko ye de ye ji me ne ba me ye me ba ne me ba me kwa me ba ran yin nam ke kan yin do re re de ye ji me ne ba me de yin ji me ne ba me ran yin nam ke kan la ye da ne me ba de yin do Te yendo se kam yendo yetang ne me pare.
Kunso di tsik che shu na tiku ge la?
Den dege do.
Tambo lo na?
Do.
Then there is the explanation that joins the example with the meaning, which is on page 6, verses 58 and 9. The aggregates, sense fields, and elements are understood to resemble the earth. Karma and mental afflictions are understood to resemble the element of water. Incorrect mental activity is understood to resemble the element of wind. The true nature, resembling the element of space, likewise has no support and no location. So the this joins then the examples, which were the different elements with their meaning, which was the different processes within the mind. So the earth element is said to resemble the aggregates, the sense fields, and the elements, or the skandhas, the ayatanas, and the dhatus. The water represents karma and the mental afflictions, the kleshas. So the mental afflictions within sentient beings are imaged as water. The incorrect mental activity, the four mistaken views of taking things that are permanent to be impermanent, and so forth, those are like the element of wind. And the true nature of the mind is said to resemble space. And it has no support, no basis, and no location. The next verse, how generation takes place, is the reverse of this process. So incorrect mental activity rests on the true nature of the mind. Incorrect mental activity opens the opportunity for karma and mental afflictions. From the water of karma and mental afflictions arise the aggregates, sense fields, and elements. Just as this world arises and disintegrates, they will be born and disintegrate as well. So this is easy to understand because it's joined together with the example. So incorrect mental activity, which are these, were summarized in the four mistaken views, that arises depending upon the nature of the mind, the true nature of the mind. And then if you ask, well, what depends then, this is like building things up. So then we start with the nature of the mind, and then comes mistaken mental activity. And what rests on mistaken mental activity is karma and the mental affliction. So that's the next layer. And then what is built up upon that is the skandhas, the aggregates, the sense fields, and the elements. And just like that, the world then arises and disintegrates. The four elements arise and disintegrate within space without affecting space.
Semje rangi namka ye khandar jume ji mi de. Chokpa mi ji je wa dan je de ne ba yo mai ya.
The next verse continues the metaphor. Like the element of space, the nature of mind does not depend on causes, on conditions, or on their coming together. It also does not arise, remain, or cease.
Semje ngowa semje rangye wa sa dekhi nyingbunde jujin len deba jujin chokpa meba jenga neba dan drawa namka nangye.
This verse then underlines again the fact that the Buddha nature Radiant clarity, nature of the mind, transcends causes and conditions. It does not depend on causes and conditions. Nor does it depend upon causes and conditions gathering together to produce something like interdependent arising. And it also transcends of arising, remaining, and ceasing. And the example again is like space, where the four elements arise and cease, but space itself does not arise and cease. This can be put into the form of a reasoning. Given the nature of mind, the Buddha nature, it transcends causes and conditions, and not only that, it transcends also gathering together of them, plus it is beyond arising, remaining, and ceasing. Why? Because it is extremely subtle and profound. An example is space.
This same thing, Nella was at the hanging boat, Jujin Lin Deba, Jigdan Tadel and Deba, Jenga Nelson and Deba Temple.
So this shows that the nature of the mind, radiant clarity, Buddha nature, is beyond causes and conditions. It transcends being one or separate or different, transcends being the same or different. And it is beyond arising, remaining, and ceasing.
Then Rabo de Pe Mina Tokawala Tende Pe de Namke Pe de Yawala.
Since this is difficult to understand without an example, then the example of space has been given here.
Semjarangi Wesa Kangimba Tena Namka Yindu Jurmite Yanda Mindo Lesong Dojasu Lower Treme Tenu Mumujo.
The next verse, 63, the nature of the mind is radiant clarity, unchanging like space. It is not afflicted by desire and so forth, the incidental stains that arise from incorrect mental activity. Given the Buddha nature, radiant clarity, it never undergoes change. Why? Because it is subtle and profound like space.
Tsurje Mayimbe Namdo Dang, Doicha Dang He Dang So, Lover Jitame, the Oesa de Hinyingbo, He, Kobar Majority.
Another reasoning can be set up. Given incorrect mental activity or conceptualizing mind, such as the poisons, adverse desire, anger, and so forth, these incidental stains do not affect the Buddha nature. Why? Because it is so subtle and profound. And therefore, it's not affected in any way by these incidental stains or the mental afflictions, and that the example for it is that it is like space.
This is the same thing. Nelope, yeni takpata, yeni teme takpata, yeni teman drovata, do ni takpata, ka ni takpa, tangbo ni takpa in between the temple.
And that's why one finds so many terms dealing with the nature of the mind that talk about its purity. It's said to be primordially purified, pure of stains, free of mental aberrations, pure from beginningless time, primordially pure, and so forth. There is a whole host of terms that point to this fact that the mind has never been stained. Then Rinpoche... Rinpoche made up a verse, which is like a summary of this. The Dharma Dhatu, radiant clarity, nature of the mind, it, like space, it is primordially free, primordially liberated.
Leadan yumung choso jen denang wamban romente, chetan natan gawe me meze pejan singmujo.
The next verse says, it is not made into an actuality or not made actual by the waters of karma, mental afflictions, and so forth. Thus, it is not consumed by the cruel fires of death, sickness, and aging. This also can be put into a form of a reasoning. Given this Buddha nature, radiant clarity, it is not established by the element of water, which is a metaphor for karma and mental afflictions. And the reason is, again, because it is extremely subtle and profound.
Chetang natang gabe me meze pejan sigmajor. Cheva, cheva metan nabe metan gepe me meze pejan, vaisa dekhe nyingpon sikpar major te sabkin travesa. Me somje sigmare. Me somje neba zogmare.
The next verse, as the three fires belonging to the end of time, the hell realms, and the ordinary world, are understood to resemble successively the three fires of death, sickness, and old age. So here the Buddha nature, radiant clarity, is shown not to be burned by any of these fires because of it is extremely profound and subtle. So one then should know, this is Rinpoche also put in the form of a verse, which summarizes this, one should know the fires at the end of the time, at the end of time, to resemble the fire of death, the fire of the hell realms to resemble the fire of sickness, and the fire of the ordinary world to resemble old age.
Simchi Dongar Chipasena, Navate, Nyarva Metan Songpare. 게바데 타마르베메단 송바레 게드로바캅소 동아 하장 흑진보 여마레 이내양 타마르베메 나이 동아 여레 디세나 게바데 타마르베메 솜제 르바이겐도 대단 라바르시 버사 대단 라바르시 버사 디세나 메 솜제 장 타마르베 퐁보 젠제 존나양 데네 회사 데키 닝보라 젠가 요마레 드마 요마레 회사 데키 닝보 츠그마레 남카 메이 메체고이
So the fire at the end of the time resembles the fire of death because the fire at the end of the fire at the end of the time is refers to the end of the worlds when the worlds are burned up. And at death it's the five skandhas that disintegrate or are burned up or vanished. And it resembles the hell realms. The fire of the hell realms resembles the fire of sickness because when one goes to the hell realm, one doesn't die completely. One suffers intensely there. And in the same way, the fire of sickness brings intense suffering to sentient beings. And the fire of the ordinary fire resembles old age because it's not this kind of intense suffering one finds in the hell realm, but there is nevertheless suffering that is present. And so these three fires, at the end of time, the hell realms and the ordinary world, they arise and cease, and they are an example for the five skandhas arising and ceasing without affecting the Buddha nature in the same way that we saw space was not affected by the arising and ceasing of the elements, and of course fire is one of the elements.
Tienga me pate namkha lanjungi remji chena yang namkha la cheva me patang. Namkha lanjungi gana yang namkha yin sun jungi gana yang namkha lan gakpa me pa yendo. Tene semche ne lo vesa dekhi nyingpo tienga lende par. Dupanra.
So this then is focusing on the arising and ceasing of things, and just as within space, the elements arise, but space does not arise. So the elements arise within space, but they don't affect space. And in the same way as the elements cease within space, but space itself does not cease. In that same way, the five skandhas arise and cease, but they do not affect the nature of the mind, radiant clarity.
Tandi. Tongban dan gongban kangke jang madaba semjin ji kapsu yang tene waisa dekhi nyingpun jorwa mai patten par. Jorwa mai patten, jenga mai patten par. Petan jang.
So here, whether one is on the level of seeing or on the level of meditation and so forth, or one is an ordinary sentient being, well, the Buddha nature, the radiant clarity, does not change. It does not arise or it does not cease, just as all of these examples we've been looking at.
Tene pongpo khantan jenji nam jenga sepa te sinche norban namdo la ten te songa tang. Norban namdo khanlan jom ye vaisa dekhe nyingpo tene jenga mepa, honjur mepa rishi kogdo.
The five aggregates, the 12 sense fields, and the 18 elements are seen to arise and cease on the basis of conceptualizing mind that is involved with the different mistaken views. So you could say on the basis of incorrect mental activity. When that mistaken conceptualizing mind is pacified, when it is stilled, then what is present is the Buddha nature, radiant clarity, which does not arise and does not cease. It doesn't go undergo transformation. So it's very important to remember that while one is an ordinary individual, i.e. one who has not attained the realization of emptiness, or that even in this unpurified phase, the Buddha nature is unchanging. And the only reason that we see it as undergoing some kind of change or being obscured is because of this incorrect mental activity. And so if one, it's important to know this, because that allows one not to get discouraged. One, even though there are these changes happening, such as birth and aging and sickness and death, one knows that the nature of the mind itself is unchanging, and that gives one great courage. One becomes a heroine or a hero.
Dina. Yang takpar, nava mepa da, gepa mepa da, heva mepa, ngihi yu na tene pa uchagri.
If one has complete confidence that ultimately there is no birth, aging, sickness, or death, then one becomes like a warrior.
Ta ta la ma da pa ne ka pso jirwa mepa da, pakpa da, pa ma zore. Tongpa nyi ngon,
The next section that we've looked at, the unpurified phase, that was the first one for what of this immutability. So now we're looking, we've moved to the second phase now, which is the purified, the unpurified, and the purified, and that refers to the bodhisattvas, and another name for them is the heroes and heroines. And in this phase as well, the ultimate reality, Buddha nature, does not change.
Tele tangbo ta pakpa namna don tambe sem tangbo jepa sa tangbo rab de gaba toba namna namje chuni len jura me patte ba ne che tang ga tang chen chen na tang ga wa le tro ba de de ran kin chi ki ni to te che so phong tan tra yang de ju lo den do le ni ji che ser tin ya.
Lo.
เจวาลาโซตานันตองกันเตเมพาเปจือทบกันสิบจือตดตองเตญิเซนโดวะญิจิทับตานญิจิจุนเตยาตะเตสิเกนเตตองตัมเปเซมเจปาสะตังโบวะนัมจิญุมิจิชุญญิเตปะระยะชะตันเตชิชุโกวิรุ
So the first verse then says, liberated from birth, death, sickness, and aging, Tathagatas directly realize reality just as it is, the true nature of the Dharma Dhatu, and so are free of the impoverishment of birth and so forth. That with this realization as a cause, the wise ones demonstrate change, since they have given rise to compassion for sentient beings. The subject of the reasoning that is related to this verse is the bodhisattvas, those who have directly realized the nature of the mind and have transcended birth, aging, sickness, and death, and abide on the first bodhisattva level. There is a reason for them demonstrating birth, aging, sickness, and death, and that is because compassion arising within them for sentient beings, they demonstrate them for the benefit of these beings. So it's through the power of their compassion that birth, aging, sickness, and death, that they appear to be born, to age, to get sick, and to die. The female and male bodhisattvas who are abiding on the first bodhisattva level have seen or have realized directly the nature of the mind, the Buddha nature. And so they demonstrate nearly arising or being born, getting sick, aging, and dying through the power of their compassion. And given these bodhisattvas who are abiding on the first level, they do not experience birth, aging, sickness, and death because they have eliminated clinging to a self. And given the bodhisattvas, male and female, abiding on the first bodhisattva level, they demonstrate, or they seem to take birth, age, get sick, and die, and that is through the power of their compassion in order to teach sentient beings, in order to reveal the truth to sentient beings. The next verse says, the noble ones have eradicated the suffering of death, sickness, and aging. Birth in samsara comes through karma and mental afflictions. The bodhisattvas do not have these causes, and so suffering does not cause change. Given bodhisattvas who are resting on the first bodhisattva level, they do not experience birth, aging, sickness, and death because they have eliminated the karma and the mental afflictions that would bring these about.
Since
the next verse, 68, since bodhisattvas have seen the Dharmadhatu correctly, just as it is, they transcend birth and so forth. Yet, as the very embodiment of compassion, they demonstrate birth, sickness, aging, and death. Given first level females and male bodhisattvas, they are not subject to birth, sickness, aging, and death because they have directly realized the Buddha nature, the nature of the mind. And given the first level male and female bodhisattvas, they demonstrate or seem as if show as if there is birth, aging, sickness, and death. Why? Because of the power of their compassion. After bodhisattvas have realized the unchanging Dharmata, those blinded by ignorance see them as taking birth and so forth. That the bodhisattvas benefit these beings is truly wondrous. Given first level bodhisattvas who have directly seen the Buddha nature that is unchanging, they demonstrate birth, old age, sickness, and death to sentient beings who are obscured by the cataracts of ignorance. I mean, such as blinded by ignorance, that bodhisattvas demonstrate these to them, these four aspects of birth, aging, and sickness and death, is truly amazing. And why is it amazing or wondrous? That is because this comes through the great power of their compassion. Once they attain the sphere of experience of the noble ones, they demonstrate birth and so forth within the sphere of experience of the immature. Therefore, these friends of beings have skillful means and supreme compassion. So that's verses
6 and 7.
These bodhisattvas then are endowed with supreme compassion and supreme skillful means. And because of being endowed with these two qualities then, they are able to demonstrate birth and so forth, remaining in the sphere of experience of the noble ones, they are able to demonstrate birth or sickness and so forth within the sphere of experience of the immature, and that ability to sort of be in, to present these within another realm of experience, are endowed with supreme compassion and supreme skillful means. And because of being endowed with these two qualities, then they are able to demonstrate birth and so forth, remaining in the sphere of experience of the noble ones. They are able to demonstrate birth or sickness and so forth within the sphere of experience of the immature, and that ability to sort of be in, to present these within another realm of experience is due to their skillful means and compassion. So that's been a brief explanation of the immutability in relationship to the phase of both purified and unpurified, which relates to the bodhisattvas. One could also discuss this second phase of unpurified and purified relating to the bodhisattvas extensively, because it covers all of the bodhisattva levels. It covers the first bodhisattva level, how the nature of the mind is unchanging there. And it covers the second to the seventh bodhisattva level, where it is said that the bodhisattvas enter into the to conduct that is supreme conduct in relation to their activity. And it also relates to the eighth level, which is called the irreversible level, and there also how the Dharmata is unchanging, and also to the pure levels of the ninth and the tenth. So we'll stop here for now and continue with the completely purified phase this afternoon. So this phase of the unpurified and purified together, which relates to the female and male bodhisattvas, is a way of showing what their qualities are. For us, what's most important is for us that are practicing, ordinary individuals who are practicing, then the most important one is the first one, the unpurified level, and how even at that stage the nature, the self nature of the mind is pure and unchanging.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll chant then of what we looked at today.